Our scripture reading this morning is taken from, first of all, just reading a few verses from Genesis 5. These are just references to Enoch. Genesis 5, 21 to 24. Said Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. All the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And then also chapter 6, and this is of course in connection with Noah. And reading from verse 9, this is a genealogy of Noah, was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. And begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then, of course, he gives him instructions to build an ark, which to many people was very funny, and they continued to deride him and make fun of him. But Noah continued, and of course, he did build the ark, and when the day came, it started to rain, and the whole world was flooded, and the whole world was destroyed, and all the animals, of course, were saved, and Noah and his family. And it's on these passages that our text reflects upon in Hebrews chapter 11, as we look at verses 5 to 7 in Hebrews. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, namely the flood, worldwide flood, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which, by doing that, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, we've embarked on a series of sermons on Hebrews 11, which people know as the heroes of faith, or we might put it another way, trophies of faith. This is the glory goes not to the people, but to God, who worked his faith in them. And we were taught that the essence of faith, the crux of faith, is believing and acting without seeing. People's idea, of course, these days is, I'm not going to believe until I see it for myself. Well, there's a lot of things you wouldn't believe in if that was the case. So we're inconsistent in saying that, but generally we know what people mean, right? Just like Thomas, Doubting Thomas we call him, even though all of them were like that. I'm not going to believe that Jesus rose from the dead until I see him. But of course, people like Augustine understood that it's not that way round. It's not that we believe because we see, but rather we see because we believe. We see by faith things as they are. It's only by faith that we can see it all. Without faith, we're totally blind. Without faith, we can stand looking at God himself and say he's the devil himself and crucify him. No, it's by faith that our eyes are opened. And it's faith is taking God as his word. Faith is trusting God's word. When things all around us look in chaos and we think, oh, obeying God's word is the foolish thing to do here. It's going to hurt me. It's going to do bad for me if I follow God's word in this situation. I have to go some other way. I have to follow some other pattern in order to get through this. That's not faith talking. It's not faith talking. That's unbelief. Because that amounts to us saying, I know better than God. Huh. He thinks I should do this. He must be crazy. I know a better way to do it. A safer way to do it. But of course, it never is. It never is. But it's only faith that will call us to that. It's only faith that will say, hey, don't live by sight. Go by what you know is true. People tell me about flying. I was going to say I've never flown. I have flown, but not when I'm in the control. I don't know how to fly. But it does scare me when we're going through clouds and you can't see a thing. How does the pilot know where he's going? In the dark. Well, they tell me, you have to fly by the instruments. You can't go by what you think. You can't go by what you're feeling or seeing. You have to fly by the instruments. Those are the ones that are correct. That's what it means to fly by faith. It's to go by God's word. God's word is correct. You are mistaken. God's word is always correct. You can never go wrong with God's word. So we make decisions based on God's word, not by the things that we see around us. That's faith. But of course, we put the Bible down, we look at the things and we evaluate for ourselves. As though we have a wonderful track record. We don't. We messed everything up and yet we have the audacity to stand up in a certain situation and say, I know best. Never mind what God's word says. Doesn't matter what the minister says. What does he know? No. Believers, true believers, are those that live by faith. And we look in our world, and again, the world tells us all kinds of things and we are overwhelmed by them. And they mock us, just like they mock Noah. There's going to be a flood. You know, Noah would be just as mocked as he was then. Now as he was then. I mean, if Noah came today and he went to many churches and spoke about what happened, people would mock him. There was no global flood. It was just a local flood. That's all it was, they said. We don't believe it. After God destroyed the world, we still don't believe it. Not easy to go around saying there was a global flood. I'm talking about churches, you understand, not the world. I'm talking about churches. They don't believe it. Why? Because they've conceded to the scientists, they've conceded to the people with PhDs behind their names and said, well, they know better. And can you imagine the whole world destroyed? Are you kidding? This is just unbelievable. Not according to the word of God. So we have to learn that living by faith is trusting God. And it's not an easy thing to do. I can assure you, it's not an easy thing to do. Because we want to do things according to what we can see. And we all have a tendency to do that. In the church as well as outside of the church. But we have to train ourselves. We have to bring every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to keep telling ourselves, not by sight, by faith, not by sight, by faith. And we can read many, many illustrations, of course, in the scriptures about those things where people just panicked. They just saw things and panicked. Even though God promised them things, no, forget that. What I see is danger. We're going to do whatever we're going to do now. And it didn't work out well for them. But those that stood firm saw the mighty hand of God. And so Hebrews then moves us on to these people. First of all, to Enoch. Gives us an example of Enoch. And we are told that Enoch was seventh from Adam. We're told that in the book of Jude, seventh generation from Adam. And he had a son that we read about, Methuselah, who lived 969 years. The best we can do is say nothing. The worst we can say is no way. 969 years? Are you kidding? People don't live that long. We don't see people living that long, maybe 100, 114, or 100, and whatever people say. But 969, that's nearly 1,000 years. That's not believable. That doesn't happen. It must be just the way people put numbers in those times. We're right back to the question of faith. Do we believe God's word or not? Is it God's word or isn't it? If we can't trust it in this, why can we trust it in things related to salvation then? He lived 969 years. And Enoch was his father. And he had him when he was 65. And you think, oh, come on, 65. Well, Abraham had Isaac when he was 100. So if you have problems with that. Enoch was 65 when he had Methuselah. And he lived 365 years, Enoch. Kind of not long compared with his son. And what are we told about him is that he pleased God. He pleased God. Sometimes we think, in order to please God, we have to do something mighty. Not that pleasing God isn't mighty. It absolutely is. It's not as easy as we think. He pleased God. He didn't part the Red Sea. He didn't go up to Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments. He didn't fight against false prophets. What we're told is he pleased God. He walked with God. In other words, the highlight of his life, the thing that characterized his life was this, that he walked according to the word of God. He made his decisions based on God's word. He was motivated in terms of his decisions with a desire to please God rather than to please himself or to please other people. So the question is, what characterizes our life? I mean, if people were going to make some comments when you pass away, what would they say characterizes your life? I trust that it will be this. That this man walked with God. This man sought to please God in everything that he did. I don't care whether you collected garbage as a profession. I don't care whether you lived in a poverty-stricken area and in a poor house. I would rather have people say he walked with God and pleased God rather than to have millions and millions and millions of dollars and a great name as far as this world is concerned, and we just walked according to our own will. Because then we did not please God. And all of those things that we achieved and all the accolades that we might have got from this world, I tell you, every one of them will be burnt to the ground. It will not remain. It will pass away. It will be blown away with the wind. So what is it that you're building in your life? What kind of legacy are you leaving behind in terms of your life? Enoch walked with God. And I tell you, he is right up there with all the heroes of faith. That's what brought him to that position. That's what led God to have him included in the heroes of faith. I mean, if we were looking at the mighty, if we had a survey in the church and say, list the 12 greatest people of the Old Testament, or New Testament for that matter, I can assure you that Enoch would not be among them. He would not be among them. Because we'd be looking for great things that people did. We'd put Elijah up there. Not that he's not supposed to be up there, right? I mean, but those are the kind of people we would put up. Elijah. Moses. Abraham. Those are the people that we put up, that we associate with doing great things, supposedly. Enoch would not have made it. You walk with God and you will please Him. And God will take note. God will not overlook you. God will not say, no, He didn't do much. No, no, no. It's a great deal to walk with God, to make our decisions based on God's Word, even when we don't feel like doing it, even when we don't think it's the right thing to do. That's what we do because we trust God's Word. We love Him. That's what shows our faith in God. No, he walked with God. It satisfied him. But people are not satisfied with that so often. They think, no, 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 I have to achieve something. God's not after anything from you. What have you got that he wants anyway? What are you going to get, bring to God that he's going to say, oh, I really wanted that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What is it that you have? What is it that you can give? You can give nothing. Absolutely nothing. Everything belongs to him anyway. What he wants is your love. What he wants is you to trust him. What he wants is for you to praise him and honor him in everything that you do. That's the greatest gift that we can give. I mean, what do parents want from their children? Expensive things that they save up for? Is that what we want from them? We don't want anything from them. What do we want? For them to walk in the ways of God. For them to show respect and love for their parents in the things that they do. That's all we want. And it's not being selfish. We want it for them. That's what God wants for you. Walk before me and be perfect. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Walk in the way that I've given you in terms of my law. Why? Because I want that. It's good for me. No, no, no. Because it's good for you. It's good for you. So whatever you have your sight set on, don't forget this. Walk with God. And you can do it if you're young. The young people say, well, what can we do? Look at all these adults and they're so much knowledgeable about God and they can do so much more. What can I do? I'm telling you, you obey God and walk with Him and God is very proud of you. As well as He is with adults. But not only did he do that, he warned about God. He preached. Now we don't hear about that in other parts of Scripture, but we do hear about it in Jude. It says in verse 14 of Jude, it says, now Enoch the seventh, we're talking about generations, seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which have they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So here was Enoch. He walked with God. But lest we think, oh, you know, I don't have to engage the world around me by preaching the gospel. As long as I just live my life, everything should be fine. I don't have to say, well, yes, we do. Yes, we do. Not only do we have to be obedient to God, we need to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have any compassion on those around us, we have to tell them and warn them about the judgment to come, as well as the wonderful salvation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I mean, there's no way that we can enjoy salvation and understand salvation and have no concern for those around us. How can that possibly be? It cannot. You cannot be a genuine Christian and have no concern for people around you. It just cannot be. Then you don't understand salvation. You don't have a heart. How can you have a heart if you've been saved and you don't care about others that are perishing all around you? What kind of a heart do you have? Not after the heart of God, I can tell you that. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was compassionate and loving and concerned, so that even the ones that hated him, he called them to repentance and faith. And so did Noah. I mean, so did Enoch. As he walked with God, he warned people to walk in the way that he was walking, so that they would have the blessings of God and have the hope that he had in his heart and in his life. It's only the gospel that opens our minds to the needs of others. Otherwise, we're so selfish. That's all we think about. But when we understand what God has done for us, and when we didn't really even care for him, now we understand, oh, this is love. Not self-centered, but a love that extends to others. And so Enoch walked with God, but he was concerned about others. He spoke to them by his life and his words. He warned them of judgment. He warned them that they would face judgment from God unless they too repent and believe and follow God. And what happened to him? What happened to Enoch? It says Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. And what does that mean? Well, we're told that Enoch did not die. That Enoch was physically taken by God. He didn't go through the experience of death like humans do now, believers do now. He was taken by God himself. I mean, what an honor. Many of the other heroes of faith, like Moses and all of these people, they died, they physically died. They were buried, even though Moses' body wasn't found. But they were buried. But look at Enoch. No great achievements in that sense, of the worldly sense, but look at the honor that God gave him. God took him. As it says in Hebrews, the world wasn't worthy of such men. And God took him to himself. What a reward. What a blessing. We are ultimately fulfilled in this life if we simply walk with God and obey him. Forget the goals and the ambitions that we set for ourselves because we think we're going to make a name for ourselves. No, I'm not saying don't engage in work and don't engage in all kinds of in living in this life. But I'm saying don't put your trust in those things. Those are not the jewels that you want to bring out and show people. That's not what you want to bring out. What you want to bring out is a jewel of the gospel, that you have a place in heaven and that God is your Father. That's what you want to bring out to the world and let them see. Because that is our greatest joy. And if we don't have that, and if we don't understand that, and that doesn't really live in our hearts and lives, then we really don't understand the gospel yet. We really don't. It's knowing Him. There's our prize and joy. And loving Him and obeying Him and living with Him. That's the joy. You know, there are many movements in the Christian church that get people excited, and people go from this church to that because they want feelings and emotions and stuff like that. It only lasts for a while, then they look for the next sensational thing that comes along. That those that know the Lord Jesus Christ and walk with Him, they're not the ones that run around after one experience after the other. Why? Because they have it every day in their life. As they walk with Him, and He walks with them. But we're also given about Noah. What is characteristic about Noah? Well, Noah lived in a very difficult time. I mean, the world was filled with violence. It was filled with unrighteousness. They didn't have much love for those that believed in God. There was persecution. And Noah lived in those times. And God was angry with the world. And He says to Noah, you know what? I'm going to destroy the world. I mean, the world is just full of darkness and evil. I'm going to do away with the world. But I'm going to save you and your family. Can you imagine God's word coming to him in that way? As I said, we don't believe it. Many of them don't believe it now. Many churches don't believe that now. They don't believe that that was the case. That God did not destroy the world. It was just a local flood. But that's exactly what God said to him. I'm going to destroy the world. And Noah believed him. Noah believed him. And you say, well, what's the big deal? It is a big deal because most people don't believe it now. But that's what faith is. We believe God's word. Even when it seems fantastical. We think, no, it can't be that. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't believe that. I mean, that's the way we are. Again, I just can't get over the audacity of the human pride. I mean, what are you? You're a speck. You're absolutely nothing. You're less than nothing. And you have the audacity to stand before God and say, does it make sense to me? I don't believe in that. I mean, it's just overwhelming. I mean, I just go back to God's response to Job. I mean, it's humiliating, isn't it? God says, God's eyes must have been rolling at that point. Because he says to Job, fighting back just hilarious laughter, I'm sure, saying, Job, oh yeah, Job, you know everything about this world, right? I mean, you know about everything that works, right? You're such a intellectual. You must have doctorate degrees, no end after your name. You know everything. Because you're going to tell me that I've made a mistake. You're going to tell me something is wrong with what I'm saying and what I've written down. That's what you're going to tell me, right? So can you just explain some of these initial things, first of all, just so that I can have some confidence that you have the ability to do it? Can you tell me how these things work? And he didn't have an answer to one of God's questions. And anyone dare say that there's contradictions in the scriptures or it doesn't make sense? Who are you? That's what God's word says. Who are you? Take a look in the mirror and see who you are. You're nobody. You understand nothing. You can't even win in this world. Are there not more intellectual people than you? Did the word of God originate from you? It makes no sense, but that's what unbelief is like. It stands before God and says, I know better than you. Absolutely, it's just unbelievable. And Noah believed God. He wasn't a simpleton. No, he believed what God said. Why? Because God said it. God said it. And so God said, I'm going to destroy the world. He believed him. He accepted God's word. And we have to teach our children that. This is God's word. And when they come back from school and say, no, my teacher says, that maybe he just has one degree, maybe not even a degree. She or he says, so therefore that's true. And what the Bible says, that must not be true. We need to teach that to our children. God is a little higher than your little teacher at school. He's worlds higher than all the so-called intellectuals of this world. God's word, you can take it to the bank. You can stake your life on it. It is solid ground. But not only did he believe that, he acted on it. He acted on it. So God said, I'm going to destroy the world. I want you to make an ark. And so he started building an ark. It took him a long time to build the ark. 120 years, in fact. And he kept going and he kept going and the world kept laughing at him and laughing at him. What are you building an ark for? Are you crazy? The world's been going on for ages. It's not going to end. I mean, are you crazy? It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. And just like, again, like our current time, right? I mean, one of the things, of course, is that the claim that the world is going to end next week is false because it's not according to God's word. But all I'm saying, do we believe that it's going to end one day, though? I hope we haven't thrown that out just because somebody's off track. We don't lose the fact that the world is going to end. It is going to end. Not next week, but it is going to come to an end. That's unimaginable, isn't it? The whole world, the whole universe, how can that be? Can't understand how that's going to happen, but it is. Because God's word says it is. So he acted on it. And so he built this ark. And though he was ridiculed, he built the ark. When the world starts ridiculing the church, unfortunately, what does the church do? It concedes. It concedes. We'll change our message so that they don't make fun of us. Well, Noah didn't. He didn't change his message, and good job he didn't. Because time did, in the end, run out. But what happened? He believed God. And then the flood came, but he saved himself and his family and all the animals. And you and I need to be thankful that he did, because we all come from him. We all come from Noah. So it's important that we believe God. It's important that we act according to that, because it means salvation. That's the only way that we receive salvation from God, is that we believe him and trust him and entrust our life to him and act accordingly. It's not an insignificant thing. As Moses said to the people, this day I lay before you life and death. Eternal life and eternal death. It's important that we listen. It's important that we understand. We have to live by faith. Not by sight. Not by our intellect. But by the sure word of God. And as I said, you can trust it. It will never disappoint. No matter what the world says. Whatever the world says will not bring you joy and happiness. But what God's word says will never fail. So you can trust yourself and follow your own life and do the things that you want to do. But I can tell you now, it's going to end in failure. And it's going to end just like it ended for all these people that didn't believe God and the flood came upon them. But if you want to be in the ark, then you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only shelter that there is against the judgment and wrath of God. And God will be pleased and bless you. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that you have given us your word, because it explains to us what life is, and it explains to us who we are and who you are, and your love towards us. And though we have sinned and rebelled, you have called us to repentance and faith. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we may not believe the lies of the devil all around us, seeking to lead us astray from you, but rather that we might embrace your word, that we may love you and serve you all the days of our life. And our Father, we pray that you would help us to fight, even within ourselves, that tendency and that pride that swells up inside us, such that we even trample your word underfoot. Our Father, we pray that we would deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he would lead us all the way to eternal life, to heaven, to you. Our Father, hear our prayers. Bless us further on this day, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.